Our God is the Lion of Judah, roaring with power and fighting our battles. Is that what you need this morning? Is someone to fight your battles? Or do you need the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world? Do you need his blood this morning to cover some sins that maybe you're struggling with, or maybe you have never accepted Christ this morning? I'm not sure what you need, but to allow him to speak to your heart this morning.
Amen. Well, this next song is just that reminder that there is an enemy who whispers in our ear. And he will try to tell you all sorts of lies. And we want to remind you today that you are a child of the King. That God made a way for us to be sons and daughters. And while we have our issues, he sees and loves us and accepts us as we are, just as Allison already talked about in that first verse that she read. And so today we hope that you would hear what the Father says of you, right? And not what the enemy says of you. So let's listen to truth this morning, and let's sing You Say.
Thank you.
This is a new song, and some of you may know it. I listen to a couple artists that do it, but Cody Carnes from Hillsong is one I listen to, and Kirtland actually introduced it to me. And I just felt it really went with what I was trying to do today with worship. It's called Run to the Father. And the chorus says, I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. You know, just like that Samaritan woman couldn't hide from God, even though she was trying to. She wasn't going to tell him who she was or what she had done, but he already knew, just like he already knows us. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. You know, he never gets tired of us coming to him again and again. It doesn't matter how many times. You know, we have people in our lives that sometimes we go, oh, those people are so frustrating. They're coming to me again and again. Or maybe you're one of those people and you go to people again and again. And sometimes as humans we get tired of that, but God never gets tired of that. He doesn't care how many times you've fallen on your face and apologized and been frustrated and needed love. He's always there every single time. So that's kind of what this song is about.
Friend.
We've been talking, guys, over the last few months, and I want to welcome you to church, but we've been talking about connecting to God. And this morning, I don't know if you felt the Holy Spirit, but boy, oh boy, I long to be in the presence of God. Like this morning I got up and I was feeling my age. I was feeling a little older today. I was feeling a little creakier today. I was feeling a little slower today. And I got my first coffee and that didn't help. And I was going, oh, Lord, I need you. And so coming to church today was a choice, right? Like Neil is feeling tired because he doesn't have the same energy that I'm used to either, right? We have those days, but just like Neil, I chose to come today. And when I did, it was amazing to me. We went through one song for practice. We always practice Saturday night. But early this morning, we went through one song as practice to kind of warm up our voices and check our instruments and that sort of thing. And the Holy Spirit came down. And he just, he took over. And the aches and the pains and the feelings of my age, everything faded away in his presence. And so I hope that you are connecting with God and are starting to understand that the impact that that has upon your spiritual journey, yes, but your physical life, right? That we need to connect with him. And last week, Kirtland shared, again, this stressing of the map. We have the Word of God. It is our map. And he stressed that you must know the authentic, right? And in one of the songs that we sang, you say, again, the enemy whispers all the time, lies in your ear, that you are not good enough, that you will never make it, that grace and mercy isn't big enough for you. And if you listen to those lies, you will crumble. But when we know the authentic, the Word of God, how God sees us, what God thinks of us, how his mercy knows no end, it will lift you and encourage you, and we must know the authentic. And then Kirtland was saying, we got to know the context. Because again, if we know the context, it will blow our minds just how much God loves us and how far he has come for us. And this reminder that it was written for us, but not to us. So let's go into that context and grab all that we can, right? To be responsible with the Word of God and to read it as it's supposed to be written. And again, this truth that God won't ask you to do something outside of the parameter of his Word. You start to know the Word of God, then what happens? You start to know God. And when you start to know God, you start to feel his heart. And when you feel his heart, you hear his voice. And when you hear his voice, you start to understand the good shepherd. And when he says, come, you follow. Because you know the authentic, right? And again, he's going to always lead you to your very best. And so again, we were challenged on this discipline, this choice to not just read the Word of God, but to truly study it. And Louis Giglio, again, that quote just echoes in my head, those who know God's voice best are the people who know his Word the most. You want to get to know the voice of the Good Shepherd? Then read his love letters to you. Study, pore over them, and know them. And so I hope you'll be disciplined enough to do that. But I want you to know this morning that there is another tool that is so incredible for us as we journey through this life. And I was trying to think of how in the world can we talk about that. And I wanted to start off with this illustration. It comes from Africa. Of course, this is when Africa was starting to be a little more settled and there was still a lot of unreached or unknown villages. They would call them lost villages, but they were just fine. They weren't lost. But there was this one particular village that was hit with cholera. And the people were sick and the word came out that the village looked like it was going to be lost, that the village was going to die off. And there happened to be missionaries in that part of Africa and they said, we can help. We can bring medicine. We can help. We can help these people. And they said, well, again, it's called a lost people because we don't know where the village is exactly. And so they said, okay, we'll make preparations. And so they did some quick study, and they talked to some locals, and they said, we need to go find this village, and we have medicine that can help them. And so they made this big plan, and they said, the journey will be long. And they said, that's okay. They made all the preparation, and they hired some guides, and they started off on their journey. And every couple of days, it seemed like the jungle got darker as the canopy got thicker. that as the foliage started to creep in, it seemed to surround them, and they would have to hack their way through. And the missionaries got very, very nervous after a week of traveling, which seemingly was the unknown, and they would stop all the time. They'd say, we need to stop. And they'd pull out their maps, and they would pull out their compass, and they would be looking, and they'd say, we don't even know if it's night or day, it's so dark. And they'd say, we need to get our bearings, right? And they would hold out their compass, and they would study their map, and all of a sudden, then they'd say, okay, we think we're going the right way. Constantly stopping after another week, finally, the guides, after one of these stops, they took the map, and they crumbled it up, and they put it aside, and they took the compass, and they set it aside. And the guide looked at the missionaries, and he said, you need to know that today I will be your compass. Today I will be your map. Please let me be your guide. And soon after, they found the village. You know, as we look at this whole journey with God, I want to ask you this morning, what do you do to check your bearings? To find your way. Certainly over the last few weeks, we've been talking and amplifying this idea that you need to study and know the Word of God, that it is a great tool for you. And I remember one of the heroes of my faith, Burt Montgomery, who was a Sunday school teacher of mine. He always would look at me and he'd say, Andrew, if you ever lose your way in life, you need to go here. He'd pull out his Bible and he'd take me to the Sermon on the Mount. And he'd say, if you ever lose your way, if you ever need to check your bearings, you need to study this. It's one of the greatest speeches that Jesus ever gave. It's one of the largest teachings on his way. And so, you know what? Read this and dive into it, and you will find your bearings no matter what the situation is. And I never forgot that. And so the Word of God has always been beautiful to me. It's always been amplified that it's useful to me. But I was thinking about that this week as I knew I was coming here. I pore over those letters that God has given me, and it shows me his heart, and it confirms his will, and all of those things. But I was thinking back, again, as I talked about Allison and I dating, what if I had only ever read her love letters to me, but I never acted on them? What if I had settled for letters, and all of a sudden, Allison and I never got together, we just simply wrote each other for our life? You know what? I'm so glad that one day the Lord gave me the courage to go ask her out and to talk with her. And from there, we started a journey that was even deeper than the letters that we had shared at the beginning. Do you know that God is waiting to have a relationship with you right now today beyond his letters? In this person of the Holy Spirit. Feels a little weird calling him a person, but I guess I'm trying to explain him in the best way that I can. That the Holy Spirit is there for you, and he longs to be your guide. He longs for you to know his heart through the letters that he has given you, yes, but he longs to have an affair with you. Can I say that this morning? Right now, he longs to love on you and be loved by you. That principle that every morning you wake up, the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to take a hold of him and to join him in your day. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning because, again, this is something that I find sometimes the Wesleyan world can shy away from. It's not just the Wesleyan world, other denominations too. Because when we get into these great big concepts, it's hard to explain. And I want to read for you the promise first found in John 14. Here's the setting of this in John 14. Okay, John 14, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's about to leave. And they're like, what? They're like, no, like you're supposed to set up your kingdom. They were still looking for his earthly rule. And Jesus says, no, my time is just about up. And then they start to panic, and he says, hold on, here's my promise to you. John 14, starting to read at verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. How do you check your bearings in this journey with God Almighty? Well, you follow the guide. This is the introduction to our guide. In this particular passage, Jesus calls him the advocate. It is our help forever, the Spirit of truth, the one we know and who actually lives within us. Think about that for a minute. And again, maybe you're new to church or maybe you've never dove into this because you've always wanted to keep things kind of simple, and that's fair. We're sheep, right? meh, right? We don't like deep things, but sometimes it may confuse you when I pray. There's a lot of times that I'm praying to God the Father, right? And I'm asking that he would come and blow the trumpet soon, that I'm asking that the Father would have his way and turn things that are upside down, right side up, right? And then there are times when I am thanking Jesus that be all that he's done and the plan that he fulfilled, that he came and took my place. I thank him for that, that he is my Savior. And then there's times when, even like this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would come and have his way in our hearts and in our lives today. And for some of you, you may say, okay, well, that's a little confusing to me. Like, are you praying to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit, or are you praying to God the Father? Yes. I am praying to God. All of that is God. And it is so big for us and hard for us to understand because our minds are so small. So I want to give you some scriptural evidence to this. That in Genesis 1, right at the very beginning, verse 26, it says, "And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Here is a verse that begins our understanding of God. And I want to ask you this morning, who is God talking to? Let us make mankind in our image. Who is God talking to? And you know, that may be a little confusing for you at the beginning because, you know, I've had that debate with people and they said, well, he must be talking to the angels. And I'm saying, does the Creator need to go to the created for advice? No. Right? Like, you want to have a fun experiment? If you have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old in your house, you ask them to plan the day. Right? And you'll never ask them for advice. You may ask them what they want to do, but you'll start to limit some of those questions because at that young age, they don't have the capacity to plan the family day, let alone the family finances, let alone the family anything. Right? That's why you're the parent. Right? And so you'd say, well, okay, is he talking to the angels? No, the angels are below God. So who's he talking to? Then other people would say, well, he must be checking for counselors. Is there other gods? Is he talking to other gods? Well, of course not. Scripture is very clear that there is only one God. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one." There's one God. You know, you look at some of the verses, even woven throughout Scripture, it's a common theme. Mark 12, 32, Romans 3, 30, Galatians 3, 20, 1 Timothy 2, 5, all of those and more talk about there is one God and he is holy. So who is God talking to? If you study the Word of God, there is this conclusion that it is the Trinity having a conversation. And you'd say, show me that in the Bible. Okay, well, this is where it gets tricky. Our minds are so small and God is so big that there are aspects of God that we have a hard time of grasping. And so when you look up the Trinity in the Holy Scriptures, you will never find that word. It is a man-made word made by the church to describe something that is phenomenally above us. Something so big that it's hard for us to understand. That we know God and it's clear that he is one. But we have called him the Holy Trinity because he has revealed himself in separate forms to us. So that's why I pray sometimes to God the Father. Who am I praying to? God. Sometimes I'm thanking my Savior, Jesus. Who am I praying to? I'm praying to God. And other times I am calling upon the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and to wreck me and to have his way within me. Who am I praying to? I'm praying to God. That's the Holy Trinity. Now, I've studied this for 27 years, and I still can't grasp it. And I've tried to wrestle it to the ground. I've heard to every explanation. How many of you ever heard that God is like a cherry pie? Have you ever heard that one? Oh, search that out and have a good laugh. Like, I'm sad that we talk about God in terms of cherry pie. You know, I had one professor who thought he was so smart, and he said, Andrew, God is like water. Some of you heard this one. He's like water. You know, water, when it freezes, it can break apart rock. It is so strong. That's like God the Father, the solid form. And you know what? Then when it melts, it flows. just like the river, and it moves and it flows and has its own kind of rhythm. And that's like Jesus, like the blood that flowed for you. And then if you look at the water in the coolness of the morning and you can see the mist coming off the lake, it's vaporizing, and that's like the Holy Spirit. And I'm kind of going, oh, man, God is bigger than water. But he was trying to share something that was so big to a mind that was so small that he was using the best that he could. And again, I still don't completely understand the Trinity. The best way that I've ever come to kind of wrestle it to the ground and come to terms with this idea and this term, the Trinity, that the church has come up with, that God is so much bigger than I've brought it into personal terms, okay? So there was one day 46 years ago where my mom and dad were blessed with the most beautiful boy. Woo! You know, my mom will still talk to you. She says, "How's my beautiful boy today?" And I'll say, "Mama, I'm still beautiful. Woo! Just rocking the beauty," right? And so my mom, she looks at me and she sees me as a son. So it's kind of funny. It doesn't matter how old I get. I can go visit my mom. She's getting a little crankier as she gets older. I don't know if any of you experienced that, but it's kind of interesting. Like the sweet mom, well, although she used to chase me with a spoon, and when the spoon broke, then she chased me with a ruler, and when the ruler broke, when she got the 2x4, my brother and I just started listening all the time, right? So she knew what discipline was, but she used to be so sweet. And now even at 46 years old, I can go visit my mom whenever there's not regulations on, and I'll go and visit her, and she'll say to me, she'll say, "Son," she'll say, "I'm going to bed at 11. And I'll say, "Okay." And she says, "Be home or don't come in." I'll go, okay, and like it's her home, right? 46 years old, she's still telling me what to do. Why? Because she sees me as her son. She has authority over me, right? But then I told you a little bit about when Allison and I started to date and how badly that messed me up, right? And when I finally had the courage and I knew that I couldn't live without her and I asked her to marry me and luckily somehow she said yes, right? She sees me very differently than my mom because she sees me as a lover. Woo! I like that too, right? And we started this whole journey together, and she sees me so differently than my mom does. And then because of the life that we've been living, well, then that resulted in this 18 years ago, they gave me a little baby girl. And Ella's back there turning red and going, "Oh, dear Lord, shut up. Don't look back here. Dad, don't do this. We've talked about it." They handed me a little girl, and I went, "Woo!" And I went, I am responsible for this little girl. I've never been a little girl. I don't know what to do, right? And then the Lord kind of said, "It's okay." And Allison kind of said, "It's okay." And I called everybody, and they said it would be okay. And so I just said, "It's going to be okay." Now she's 18 years old. It was okay. But you know what? She sees me differently than my wife. You know, when I started to watch her walk, when she first started to ask for advice, when there was times when she needed just to cry and have somebody listen. And I hope that she always feels that she can depend on Dad. But you see, who am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about Andrew. Were you talking about Andrew as a son? Yeah. Are you talking about Andrew as a husband? Yes, it's still Andrew. Are you talking about Andrew as a dad? Yes, I am. That's one of the ways that I've wrestled to the ground, this idea of the Trinity. Now, you need to understand that that is such a rudimentary way, but it's the closest I have to explain to you. Andrew's still Andrew, but he has different roles. So who is God the Father? He's God. Who is Jesus the Son, our Savior? He's God. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. He's God. And so there is this example in the first chapter of Genesis. Let us make mankind in our image. Who is God talking to? Without trying to make God a schizophrenic, he's talking to himself. It's big. It's hard for our small brains to digest and understand. Another place that we see it in Scripture is Matthew 3. This is the baptism of Jesus Christ, reading verses 16 and 17. Listen to this. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, dunked in the water like we do, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. Think of this. Heaven opens up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove,
and alighting on him. And then a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Again, blows our minds. Something so big that it's hard for us to understand, but here is God in three different forms, in three different versions. Here is Jesus, who is God, being baptized, getting ready for his earthly ministry, and to give us all the teachings that we would pour over ever since. And heaven opens, and we see the Holy Spirit coming down. It happened to be in the form of the dove, but the Holy Spirit comes down and alights upon him and empowers him. And we hear this voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son." We see God the Father blessing God the Son and the Holy Spirit in filling him. What an amazing revelation. God shows up in all of his forms, yet he's one. One. And when we look at this idea of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that I see churches that really shy away from this. Why? Because it's so hard for them to understand. Right? Like there's denominations that go all in on the Holy Spirit, and it's almost like they forget the rest of the Trinity. And then there's other denominations that are so scared of the Holy Spirit that they never want to talk about the Holy Spirit, so they forget the rest of the Trinity, right? And then there's others who are so focused on God the Father, and Jesus doesn't seem to be welcome, and they never talk about salvation. They forget some of the Trinity. And you know what? I want to take all of those misconceptions to say that we need to passionately embrace God. God the Father, God the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk about the Holy Spirit here today. Because this power is available to you. This guide is available to you. How do you check your bearings? You should always have your bearings because Jesus said the advocate would live within us. Let's look a little deeper this morning. John 14, verse 26. Again, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. How important is the Holy Spirit? Jesus right there says, he says, first of all, the advocate will come and he will live within you. He goes on to flesh out in this verse that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and remind us of all the truth that Jesus has given. You want to know the authentic? You need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He is there to guide you. He is there to teach you. Romans 8:14, Paul says this, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." So he gives us this glimpse that not only are we to be led by the Spirit, but we are his children. Wow. Do you need leading in this journey? You want to better believe it, you need leading. We all need leading, don't we? Like, oh, pastor, I just want to know the path that God wants me on. I just want to know my purpose. Well, guess what? That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit for you. Romans 8, 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, and the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So think about that verse with me for a minute. That the Holy Spirit is to indwell us, to teach us the way, to remind us of truth, right? And right here, he helps us in our weakness. You know those habitual sins that sometimes we struggle with and you don't have to confess or you go, yes, I know that you have them. Or you've had them. You know what I'm talking about. Those things that you keep coming back. It's all those verses that say, as a dog returns to its vomit. It's not good, right? Those things that you struggle with and you say, man, how will I ever overcome? You will not overcome. That is the power of the Holy Spirit within you to overcome that. You see, it's not supposed to be Andrew anymore that lives. It's God that lives in Andrew. So every time I send Andrew back to those habitual sins, guess who fails? Guess who licks up the vomit? Guilty as charged. But when I let the Holy Spirit who lives within me fight that battle, what happens? Very different outcome. You see, the Holy Spirit is to help you in your weakness.
So let's ask this. Let's get personal. What are your weaknesses this morning? Again, don't testify, please. Call me. We'll go into a counseling session. But what are your weaknesses unspoken this morning? Think about that. What are your weaknesses? Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to take control of that area of your life? You see, he's available. And even when you don't know what to say, this verse says that he will speak to heaven on your behalf with groans. Groans. Has the Holy Spirit ever groaned on your behalf? Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. Look at the saving role. Again, we praise Jesus for being our Savior. And this work is birthed within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has a saving role in our lives. That's why every week we invite the Holy Spirit to this place back in that back office when we pray as a team. Because you know what? The Wesleyan Church can't save you. You should not be shocked. Andrew can't save you. Kirtland and Tracy, they can't save you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's how ministry becomes bearable. Because when I preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, I praise the Lord that he moves on my behalf in the Holy Spirit. There are some that are saved. And then there are those who seem to be hardened, and I get so frustrated, and I love on them, and I love on them, and I love on them, and I keep going, Lord, why will they not receive you? And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit goes, hey, what's your job? And I go, I'm supposed to be faithful to preach the truth. And he says, yeah, what's my job? And I go, it's your job to save him. And he goes, now shut up and keep preaching and doing your part. And I go, okay. Whoo, am I ever glad that that's not on my shoulders. At salvation, you receive all of God. You do. And it comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he longs to live deep within you. And here's the deal, because sometimes we associate the Holy Spirit with things that are unexplainable or things that make us uncomfortable. I find in the church there are those who shy away from the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you kidding me? We've been going over these verses. You need him. He is vital to your growth, to your walk. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. This idea that when Andrew leads the way, I'm usually found in the mud, broken and hurting. But when the Holy Spirit leads the way, guess what? I don't gratify the desires of the flesh. He strengthens me, the very one who has saved me, and he holds me together. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So again, this idea that the Holy Spirit is within us, we receive him at salvation. It is all of God. And you are to live in that realm. Remember when I say this all the time, it's kind of one of those catchphrases, and I really want you to get it. You are not human beings having a spiritual experience. You are spiritual beings having a human experience, okay? How long is this human life? James says it's but a vapor and then it's gone. The older you get, the more you understand that James was right, right? This life passes quickly. Well, what then? Eternity. So are you really going to call yourself a human being having a spiritual experience on a Sunday or a Tuesday or whenever you choose to seek God? No. Your spirit will echo throughout eternity. You are spiritual beings, and all you're trying to do is to get through this human experience. And Paul says in Romans 8 that you are not to live in the realm of the flesh. You are to live in the realm of the Spirit. You're spiritual. And your guide is waiting to take you and show you and teach you and empower you. And so often we ignore him. Why wouldn't you walk in the advice of the Spirit and the wisdom of the Spirit and the strength of the Spirit with the help of the Spirit, with the experience of the Spirit, with the power of the Spirit?
Your guide awaits you every morning. And again, I've said this before. I'll say it 1,000 times before I'm dead, if the Lord grants me that many words. Every morning, in your unconscious state, you awaken to the world, and the Holy Spirit awaits you, longing, knowing that you need Him. You need Him for all of those things and all of those verses that we shared. He knows you. He recognizes you. You're His child. You are a spiritual being, and He's waiting for you to get you through that day successfully, empowered and led. And how often do we acknowledge Him? So often we're just busy and we're roaring out the door. We're grabbing the coffee. We haven't taken time to say hi to Him. We don't pray. We're just moving. Well, I got an extra 10 minutes of sleep. No time for devotions today. No time for prayer today. And I'm smiling because it sounds so insane to me. You were made for great things, and the Holy Spirit is there to lead you through each one. Why in the world wouldn't you take advantage of that? Like leaving Him out? Are you kidding me? And yet, day after day after day, you think about God when it comes to church. Yeah, you do. Because, you put on clothes. You know what's socially acceptable, right? Coming to church today. Oh, forgot my pants. Better go back. Okay, you're thinking about that. You're coming ready. You're preparing for church. Well, that's good, right? Maybe not everybody forgets their pants, but anyway. When you have toddlers, you'll know what I'm talking about, right? Why do we not prepare for Him on Monday or Wednesday? Is He not important those days too? Or, you know what, we want God. Why? Because the mess starts to overflow. And I say overflow because I'm a pastor. Most people are happy to live with their secrets as long as their secrets are secret. What happens when secrets are revealed? Oh, I need help now because I look gross. Pastor, can we book a meeting? Why? Well, something came up. No, you've been living with something for a long time. It just came out. That's the difference. Okay, I said this to an individual today. Well, actually, it was yesterday. It was almost today. It was that late. I reminded him that Tiger Woods, again, I hope that Tiger Woods is okay and that he's able to golf again and all those sorts of things. Great golfer. I don't care how much he's given to charities and all those sorts of things. I don't respect the man. And why? Because I always come back to this. Tiger Woods, who is a great athlete, is a terrible human being in this. He was sorry only when he was caught. Okay? Now, I pray for his soul. I know that his whole family history, I do pray for his soul. Ask me about his religion. I'll tell you that his mother has Buddhist roots and he follows some of those things. And I do. I pray that the Lord would just seize him and take him and heal him and make him whole and understand that he was made for eternity and he doesn't need to win any more titles to try to cement his name, because this world will pass away along with his titles. But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to gain fame and gain immortality by titles. Was Tiger Woods sorry for his sin? No, he was sorry he got caught. So when do we come and God becomes important? Usually when we get caught. That grieves me, because you were made to be holy. You see, God, again, is not concerned about your happiness. While He will give you joy, peace, and mercy and grace, all those things are better than happiness. He's not concerned about your happiness. He's concerned about your holiness. And when we seek holiness, that's what you were made to be, then He brings you something way greater than happiness. He brings you provision. He brings you peace. He brings you joy. He brings you mercy. He brings you grace. It's way bigger than happiness. And why don't we seek Him before the junk starts pouring over? Why do we only seek Him on Sundays or in pain? I don't know. You know, when we do that, when we ignore God, do you know that you grieve the Holy Spirit? Listen to this warning in Ephesians 4:30. It says, "For do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? At salvation, you get all of God in the Holy Spirit. And He is there to lead you, to guide you, to strengthen you, right? to solidify that choice and that salvation. And it says that it is sealed till the day of redemption with him. And yet so often in this journey, we ignore him. We go about our day and he's a second thought or an afterthought, if a thought at all. Do you not think that's grieving the Holy Spirit? Oh, that we would embrace him. That we would long for his presence. That we would cry out for his presence. And here's the reality, church. I want you to know. How will you reach your potential as a believer? It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because apart from him, you can do nothing. Scripture is very clear on that. To reach your potential in this journey. Right? We're to walk and talk with God. That the Holy Spirit is our guide, that we should be embracing him, that we should be crying out for him, and every day should be his so that we can reach our potential. You know, we see so many in the church who are content to settle. And here's a confession this morning. Tracy and I are working with Kirtland. You guys know that he's working towards his ordination, and he's doing fantastic. And he's getting done his courses. He's passing the ones that he passes and the ones that he struggles with. He even pays out of his own pocket to retake. I'm proud of you. But one of the lessons that Tracy and I have been giving him, he just came in the back there. One of the lessons that Tracy and I have been trying to tell him, we've been trying to tell him that, you know what? The bride is supposed to be beautiful. That's what we think of. Oh, it's her day. She's beautiful. She's blushing. Oh, her hair is done. No, the bride is pretty gross. Kirtland, don't believe the lie. You need to know, Kirtland, that people will let you down. That people will critique everything you do. That people will criticize, they'll judge, they'll hurt you. They'll promise things to you and then break their promises, and you need to expect it. But here's the truth. You need to keep your eyes on God and God alone. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to keep you in ministry. So focus on him. And you know what? It's his job to bring the victories and celebrate everyone and point to him. But know that people will let you down. The bride will let you down. So keep your eyes on the Spirit. You see, the bride is fickle. And I'm saying, wow, why in the world aren't we craving our potential? Why are we fickle? Why do we want God when it's convenient? Why do we want God on Sundays? Why do we want God when it hurts? Well, why do we want God every day? Every second, every moment, why aren't we crying out to the Spirit? And here's Jesus' promise. Listen to this, okay? This is to challenge us all today. It challenges me. Listen to this. John 14:12, Jesus talking. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. So here's Jesus talking to you and I, and he says, you are going to do great things, and the reason you're going to do great things is because I'm going to go be with the Father. Well, what happens when he goes to be with the Father? He sends the Advocate. The Holy Spirit is to be so empowered in your life that you are going to do great things like Jesus, and Jesus goes on and stretches it as far as to say, you'll do even greater things than I have done. Greater things than I have done. Everybody bow your heads just for a second. I'm almost done. Wow. Whew. Yeah, I'm way over. It's okay. I knew this would happen. Just bow your heads. I want you free from distraction. Right now, in your life, are you doing the things that God has done, that Jesus has done? Think about that. That's a big question. You see, he touched the untouchable. He fed those in need. He brought sight to the blind. Wow. Are you doing that today? Think about this. Jesus prayed and the dead rose. Anybody here had that experience? Wow. Can you imagine? Jesus says we could do that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We could do that if we'd let the Advocate have his way. And he goes so boldly as to say, even greater works than I have done. Even greater works. I don't know what greater works are, but I do know this. The timeline is that the Holy Spirit will be poured out in the last days. And we are in the last days. And you are the vessel. It was Jesus who said it, not Andrew. That we'd not only do what he did, we would do greater things. Woo! Have you taken hold of that promise? Have you experienced that promise? Because that's what the advocate is waiting to do for you. That's where the guide is waiting to lead you. Think about that. That's huge. That's huge to me. Why in the world would we want to reach our potential? Again, what are you taking to heaven? The only thing you're taking to heaven is those who you point to the way. We already know that the gate is narrow and the path is hard, and few find it. Don't you want your friends and your family to find that road? Oh, that you would point with all of your potential. But you see, you can't do that unless you let the Holy Spirit have his way, unless you let him guide you, unless you let him lead you, unless you let him strengthen you, unless you let him teach you. And then when that happens, even greater things than Christ did is going to happen in your lifetime. Are you kidding me? This gift awaits, given to us at salvation, and all we got to do is unwrap it. Oh, that you would hunger for what's inside. Oh, that you would be willing to unwrap. Oh, that you would not only seek the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, that you would crave it, that you would cry out for him. And it would change everything. Woo! Don't be scared. My prayer is that we would long for him. That we would embrace him. That we would spend our days crying out for him. Oh, church, that we would hunger. And we would thirst, and the promise is that we'd be satisfied. That if we'd seek, we would find. That if we would ask, that heaven would pour over us. So let me pray. Father, I want to say thank you for this incredible plan. And Jesus, I want to say thank you for making a way for me to even enter this. I'm not worthy of this, but you made a way. And Holy Spirit, right now, I want to confess that we need you. My prayer is that we would desire you, that we would cry out for you, that we would acknowledge you. That we'd never be found grieving you, that when our eyes open, they would be yours. That our day would be yours. That our moments would be yours. That we'd understand your strength and your power. That we start to live in this spiritual, unworldly realm where all of a sudden we do even greater things in Christ. Whew. Come. Whew. Lord, I pray that we would never be found grieving you. So, Spirit, have your way in us. When we talk about connecting, oh, that we would open the gift. Lord, I'm hungry for more. Holy Spirit, just pour over me. Soak me to the core. Every day, would there be less of Andrew and more of you? Every day, would there be less of Andrew and more of you until Andrew is gone, and Holy Spirit, you are all that remains. Have your way, I pray. I pray it through the provision of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.